What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Final hour of power coming right at you here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped into the youngest in charge and Earl Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, would it keep the conversation going on the NBA? We're just talking about Cam Whitmore deal here with the Washington Wizards. We're going to keep the conversation on the NBA by going out to the Rude guest hotline for the second time this program. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. I got Law Murray, who covers the NBA and the Athletic for the Clippers, joins us right now. You can give Law a follow on the old X app at Law Murray, the NU. Law, what's going on, brother? Happy 4th weekend.
Hey, happy July. I'm getting ready for Summer League, and at some point the transaction stuff will slow down, but that's not the case today, that's for sure.
No, it is not. I appreciate you making some time for us tonight, man. I know you've been super busy as the team you cover on a day-to-day basis, the LA Clippers, in the midst of a three-team deal that lands them John Collins. Before we get to what happened earlier with the Clippers, wanted to get your thoughts on what the Wizards have done to this point this offseason. I know you spend most of your time covering the Clippers, but when you see transactions coming up on the wire and you notice the Wizards making some noise here with some moves in between the margins, what have you made of their offseason at this point, including what they did in the draft and free agency via trade?
Man, they got all the first-round picks.
I'm about to say, right? All the first-round, all the youngins.
they got all them dudes. I mean, they got five players from the 2024 first round on their team right now.
Yeah.
You know, between Sar, they already by themselves, they sent Avi away for the right to draft Carrington. They had Keshawn George. They added A.J. Johnson in the Chris Middleton deal. And now they got Dylan Jones, who just got himself a championship ring. Can't, mm-hmm. You know, one for one, right? Dylan Jones. They already had Bilal Coulibaly, who was very interesting to me because talk going into the draft was Cam Whitmore was a top five pick, uh-huh. Top five talent. And it was surprising to see him drop. Like, people thought there's a chance Houston might take him at four.
Right.
They take him in Thompson, and that dude slips all the way to 20, and Houston came right back around. That was a pick that the Clippers would have had if they didn't make have pick swap rights for the right to basically get off of, get Eric Gordon, a player that the Clippers actually waived. And so Cam Whitmore goes there. They just draft Trey Johnson, Will Riley, and now they come right back around and they get Cam Whitmore for a couple of seconds. So if you like hoarding first round picks on rookie contracts, that's a whole team right there. Now, you know what I mean? Well, what I really like is that Washington is not just throwing stuff against the wall and hoping certain things stick. Like, there's a, you know, there's some overlap, but there's some clear guys that they have identified as, you know, being a part of the next team in Washington that's going to matter. Like,
yeah,
I think Sarr had a messy rookie year. He's going to play in summer league again, so he hasn't quite graduated from summer league.
Yeah,
and you just hope that he plays way better this summer than he did last summer.
Yeah.
But he also showed an outline of NBA relevance for years to come, because even though he wasn't efficient, he showed that he can make 100 threes as a rookie. That's no small feat. Even though he needs to get stronger and more physical, especially as a rebounder, he showed that he can block shots and be special on that end of the floor. And it's always going to be difficult for young bigs. So you're building around that. None of those young guys shot well last year. So you get the best shooter in the draft in Trey Johnson. I really like Bob Carrington. I think he can take care of the basketball.
Yeah.
He's got to shoot it better. But I think as a ball handler, he's going to, you know, he's going to progress. I think he needs to soak up all he can from CJ McCollum and Marcus Smart. And so, and same with Kelly Olynyk, I think will help Alex Sarr with his offensive game. You know, for however long he's there, I think Alex Sarr, he went from having Jonas Valanciunas to start his rookie year. Now he's going to have Kelly Olynyk, who I think everyone in Washington knows about what Kelly Olynyk.
Well, you didn't have to bring it up now. See what I'm saying? Yeah. You had to rip off the Band-Aid, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you got to. You already. Washington already 15th in the Eastern Conference. We got to talk about these things. That's why.
Right.
That's why there's a new GM in the front office there in the first place.
For sure. Damn, Law. I didn't know how long we get into the interview before you brought that up. When you look at the organizational philosophy, though, for DC, I think most folks around the country feel like, okay, this thing is headed in the right direction, but when you look at what is needed to be a perennial playoff team and ultimately a championship contender, you need a star. By hook or by crook, you got to find a way to acquire that star, that franchise-altering player. When you look at the current young core in DC, who do you think has the best chance to develop into a future all-star, and do you think any of them realistically have that shot?
I think it's got to be Sarr.
Yeah.
He's the highest draft pick, and I just feel like the rest of those guys are limited by one thing or another, either by size or just I'm not sure if they'll ever get to the point where they can consistently break down defenses. I've got my doubts about Sarr, too. I don't think that player is on the roster right now,
okay,
if I'm being completely honest.
But that's what we want Sarr's from you, honestly.
I think Sarr's got the best chance of being a two-way difference maker. You know, it would be nice if Trey Johnson could get to that point.
Yeah.
Trey has the shot. I think he has the outline of someone who can pass it well enough. I'm just not sure if Trey's going to be, you know, that efficient of a scorer.
Yeah.
Shooter, yes. Scorer, I think I'm not sure about that yet. I think Trey and Sarr, they've got the best chances. I'd love to see another leap from Coulibaly.
Yeah.
But I would say that player probably is not on Washington's roster just yet.
Yeah, I think it's a fair thing to say. I know our listening audience here in the DMV is probably like, damn, what damn, Law, friend of the program, we hear you all the time. This is the first time you've said something like that here, and I think you're right on board with it, which is why, to me, it's going to be interesting to see like how long of a runway Mike Winger, Travis Schlenk, Will Dawkins and company, like how long of a runway do they get? Because you can, you know, have all the former first-round picks you want. If that star continues to elude you, it's going to be hard to get out of the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Now, the one thing that Will Dawkins got to see up close in person was the trade for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander when he was in Oklahoma City. If they have bad lottery luck again next year, Law, do you think that's the way that the Wizards are going to try and have to go to acquire their star?
I mean, it would be you got to have to give something up to get something. You know what I mean? Like, because you got to remember, Mike Winger was in the Clippers front office when that deal was going down. Those guys kind of did the deal with each other in a way. And so the best thing that that Thunder team had when Damian Lillard shot them out of the playoffs was they did have a Paul George on their team. The best thing that the Clippers had, because they were trying to lock down the Kawhi acquisition, and Kawhi wanted a ready-made star to go with him. I mean, the fact is they did have not just Shea, but they had another starter in Gallinari. They had the first-round picks. They had a clear asset chest to just throw at Oklahoma City. Washington has their assets. They need to just keep trying with the picks. They need to develop a culture that maybe will get them a veteran. And I think trading for a difference-making veteran will certainly help them. I think that's what Michael Winger is really going for. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can draft, but Michael knows from being with the Clippers that you might win some, you might lose some with some of these young guys. You need to put Washington, D.C. on the map as a place that pro ball players want to go to put in the most relevant years of their career. And even if you got to trade to acquire that player and have them in a place where they are winning when they get there.
Right.
And so the question, I don't think the front office is the issue. I think the head coach needs to show that he can develop that culture where mm-hmm. they can, you know, get to a point where they're a respectable basketball team and that somebody who is in their prime would want to play basketball there. That's one of those young guys. It's their team. Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton, CJ McCollum, they've been around long enough and they've been in similar situations. Like Marcus was, when he got to the Celtics were a lottery team because he was a lottery pick.
Right.
Middleton was on a Bucks team that lost more than 60 games with Giannis there as a rookie. And then you got, you know, CJ McCollum, like same thing.
Right.
Like he knows after being in New Orleans these last few years, how a culture
matters.
Rebuild that doesn't go well can affect mm-hmm. you. It's up to those young guys to take what they can get from those guys, because it's only going to be a year with those guys on the team, and to make that culture mean something for the next veteran difference maker that can come there. And that's what Michael Winger wants to do. I think that's his legacy. If Michael Winger can get a difference maker, however you got to get him, I think that's what he wants. I think he made that very clear in his opening and introductory press conference there.
Law, we'll let you go on this, my friend. Obviously, I know you have been all over what the Clippers have been doing to start free agency here. They made another move earlier this afternoon, getting in on a three-team deal. What is the latest out in L.A., and are they going to bring our old friend Bradley Beal to town?
Hey, I will say this. I did not expect someone like Bradley Beal to get bought out. I cited the years that he had left, the amount of money on that deal. And just, again, Bradley Beal is known. There's a reason that dude has a no-trade clause.
Yeah.
He is known to want to exercise the most control of his situation financially as possible. But I'll tell you what, that Damian Lillard trade, that did a lot. I think Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal, look at their careers, man, ever since 2021.
Yep.
Look at the deals they've signed, the moves that have been made, the absolute dire straits that their original teams have been in because of the trades that they made, but how those teams look a whole lot better a few years out, even though they've taken a lot of pain in terms of what they had to give up in terms of win-loss record and everything. And so Bradley Beal at least is healthier than Dame, but that contract buyout that Dame underwent opened my eyes big time. I was like, okay, if the Bucks are willing to do something like this, it's small potatoes for a healthy player
uh-huh.
in Brad, a guy who can play starting next year. And so the Clippers just remade their entire lineup.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to look like the Clippers you saw, forget last year. I mean, pretty much the entire Kawhi, since Kawhi has been there. So that's already big as far as trading Norm, who was damn near an all-star, for John Collins, who was in witness protection for most of last year.
Yeah, playing in Utah, right?
I do think that they will miss Norm. I don't think Bradley replaces Norm. Norm was really good, and I think people have to just understand that. Like, this is 2021.
Too,
this isn't Brad scoring 30 points. Well, Norm, the thing is, they could hide Norm defensively, but he But I think Norm, so he doesn't break your defense. Brad, if he comes to the Clippers, he's going to have to show that he's got the mentality to do whatever is asked on him on both ends of the floor, and that his body can be on the floor for a respectable amount of games, and that he's got some bounce back in him. Yeah. Those are open questions that won't be answered in the first day or the first month. He's got to show it over the course of a year. And we'll have to see. There's a lot left to be determined, but it does appear, Linnell, shout out to you.
Yeah.
it does appear that he's not going to play another game for the Phoenix Suns at the very least.
It's a crazy thing to realize. I'm excited about the Clippers next year. I thought they played well in the postseason this year. I thought, you know, obviously you had your James Harden, you know, epic bad performance when you didn't need it. I thought Zubac played well. The Clippers are interesting me, man, because I think they're still with the moves that they've made. If they can get a Bradley Beal and Chris Paul, I heard is on the horizon potentially too. They should be considered a top four team in the Western Conference next year for sure. And I'm excited to see what type of noise they can make. Law, I appreciate you making some time for us as always, my friend. We will do it again soon. Get some rest, man.
No rest for the weary. We got to play in the Vegas tomorrow. Thank you, Linnell.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate you making some time. That is Law Murray, one of the absolute best, talking all things NBA. Give him a follow on the X app at Law Murray, the NU, to hear his commentary, his words, to read his words, not hear his words, read his words on the Clippers and the NBA in The Athletic. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, the leader of the free world bumping his gums about RFK 2.0. What did your president have to say about the Commanders and their pursuit of a return to Washington, D.C.? We'll let you hear that next here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. About 40 minutes left to go in the program as we take you up to 10 o'clock. I can't believe, first of all, shout out to Law Murray for giving us some time. I can't believe where things currently stand, with the Washington Nationals. I know we've moved on. We talked about it ad nauseum to start. I just honestly, there's a sour taste in my mouth about what went down yesterday. And it's not because I didn't expect these two dudes to get fired at some point. It's just this idea that Mike Rizzo is such a victim in this situation. This idea that Mike Rizzo is such a victim in what happened. Enough. It's the one thing about all of this that has frustrated the hell out of me. I can't get behind it. I can't. And I'll be real with you, right? I think Mike Rizzo is a great guy. He had numerous opportunities to come on here as he joined the Junkies once a week during the season. He had plenty of opportunities to come on and throw shade towards the ownership group, and he never took the low-hanging fruit. So I do think he deserves credit for that. He was a maestro when it came to working the trades. Like, I get all of that. But at some point, you got to be held accountable for your inability to draft, develop, and retain talent. I think that's what today was about. I think Mike Rizzo is a good exec. I think he'll, bounce back and fall on his feet, so to speak. But if we're being honest and transparent about it, his time has run its course in our nation's capital. Point blank, period. 1-800-636-1067. I want to switch gears here a little bit. It's been a messy, messy weekend. We had a lot of big-time news with all the major sports teams over the weekend. The Caps re-signing Anthony Beauvillier. We had the Nationals, obviously, with their big news yesterday, firing Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo. We had the Wizards trading two second-round picks to acquire Cam Whitmore. We also had Donald Trump, the president of the United States. I know. Giving his two cents on where things stand when it comes to RFK 2.0. Here's President Trump from earlier today on what's next for RFK 2.0.
Well, we see what happens. I've been looking at the deal, and I don't blame them. They have to. It's a very important piece of property. It's a great piece of property. So we'll see. But if I can help them out, I will. Ultimately, we control that. The federal government ultimately controls it. So we'll see what happens. I saw the plans. I saw the stadium. The owner's very, very successful and a very good man. I know him a little bit. And it would be a great place for the NFL to be there. I can tell you that. So if they want to negotiate a little tough, that's okay with me.
That's Donald Trump saying, hey, look, I'm willing to step in if D.C. is willing to negotiate, if D.C. is too busy negotiating tough. Look, I think where I stand when it comes to RFK 2.0, and Bennett, I know you've heard me take plenty of calls on this, and everyone loves talking about this. Where I stand with RFK 2.0, my thought process doesn't really change. You all care more than I do about getting back to RFK. It's more important to you than it is to me. But I do understand this. When the NFL announced that Washington, D.C. was going to be hosting the NFL draft, RFK was happening. RFK was happening. It's going to happen. You know why? I know that there are hurdles to get over right now, and I know Mayor Bowser and the council members are at odds. I get it. It's all fair in love, war, and politics. Right? But here's the thing. There are too many people in positions of power, too many important people in positions of power that want this to happen. That's my thought process with it. There is so much unwavering support for it that I think it ultimately happens. If they can't get a deal done, though, if July 15th, next week, is supposed to be the deadline, based on some of the council members we've heard here on the Fan that have joined Grant and Danny and the Junkies, it doesn't seem like that deadline is a hard deadline, but the Commanders have continued to reiterate, look, if we don't hit that July 15th deadline, it puts potential business opportunities in jeopardy for when the stadium is actually built. So something's got to give when it comes to the Commander Stadium and RFK 2.0. I have a strong, strong feeling, like I continue to say, that this thing happens, right? There are too many important people. There are too many important people that want this to happen. So guess what? It's probably going to happen. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, some more Commanders news. Three prominent NFL insiders a little bit concerned when it comes to Terry McLaurin and the potential contract extension. We'll give you the details on that. Plus, Pro Football Focus ranked the top 32 offensive lines in the NFL. Where did they rank the Commanders? We'll get to that next. This is The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. I want to let you hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. And Ben, and I know you're probably like, what the hell are you doing? I was supposed to toss that. I know. Commanders head coach Dan Quinn spoke before each practice of mandatory minicamp. And we're now at the spot right now where we're about 15 days away from veterans reporting to training camp for the Washington Commanders. Pro Football Focus ranked the top 32 offensive lines in the National Football League. I'll tell you where they ranked Washington momentarily, but here is Dan Quinn talking about the impact of Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, and I think most of the time, some of the very best leaders are excellent communicators, and I felt that way with LT right from the beginning. You know, I got a chance to meet his family, and what were the things in his background that made him unique and finding out about him. Then also on the football side, you know, what are the things that, you know, he's excellent at? What are the things he wants to work on? And so as he goes through an off season, there's like such a specific plan for this is what I want to do during this time to get ready. And having that kind of process of winning, I noticed that right away.
Dan Quinn on Laramie Tunsil and what he could potentially bring to this revamped Washington Commanders offensive line. It's so ironic. I think, and I said this going into last year, and pat myself on the back, I was right. I'm always right when it comes to football takes, right, guys? Anyway, the offensive line was probably, amongst the fans, the offensive line was the biggest question mark facing this team entering training camp last year. There was a concern amongst all of us, and for good reason, right? Could they keep Jayden Daniels upright? I think as we saw throughout the season, the answer was, yeah, sometimes. I think the offensive line completely outkicked their coverage. Make no mistake about it at all. My thing, though, is this. When it comes to this offensive line, like when it comes to the offensive line, what Washington did this offseason, revamping that group, I think it raises their ceiling offensively, and it makes them damn near stoppable next year on the offensive side of the football. I expect it to be absolute fireworks. When they're healthy, right? When Cosby comes back, and who knows when that'll be, we'll have a better gauge on that come camp. But when Cosby comes back, your offensive line from left to right, Laramie Tunsil at left tackle, Pro Bowler, All-Pro potential. Brandon Coleman at left guard, Pro Bowl, All-Pro potential to me. Tyler Biadasz at center, Cosby at right guard, and then Josh Connelly Jr. at your right tackle. To me, that on paper sounds like a top 12 offensive line in the NFL, man. I ain't going to go too crazy because there are a couple of unknowns when it comes to Josh Connelly. He's a rookie. You don't know what you're going to exactly get out of him. And then Brandon Coleman switching positions. So I get it, right? It ain't no foregone conclusion that it's going to be a top five unit, but I think they'll at least be, if they stay healthy, and they even have depth if they aren't healthy, I think it'll at least be a top 12 unit, right? We hope. We think. Pro Football Focus ranked the top 32 offensive lines in the NFL, and they had the Commanders ranked as the 19th best offensive line in all of the NFL. And this was the explanation the Pro Football Focus gave. The Commanders' offensive line was a pleasant surprise last year, and the unit should only get better with Laramie Tunsil now on the fold. The veteran LT is still a pass-blocking menace, earning an 89.1 PFF pass-blocking grade last year. The unit's true standing will depend on how quickly right guard Sam Cosmi can return after suffering a torn ACL back in January. So I think it's a fascinating conversation. It's definitely, to me, now one of the strengths of this football team is now this offensive line, and I think next year it allows him to take another step offensively. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Barrys Faluga of The Post joined the Junks this morning. We'll let you hear that next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, I want to let you hear in its entirety the conversation that was had earlier this morning with the Sports Junkies and Barrys Faluga of the Washington Post. Barry giving plenty of context in as to why this move happened, talking about Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez getting fired. The one thing that really caught my attention with this is Barry did a really nice job highlighting what is potentially next for the organization. Here is the Junkies and their conversation from this morning with Barrys Faluga of the Washington Post.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, guys.
How are you, buddy? What a day yesterday was, right?
Head spinning, yeah. I mean, you guys know how long Mike Rizzo has run that baseball department, and you know, we can talk about whether it was deserved or not, but you just, that news pops in, and you take a deep breath and say, wow, they really did it, and you know, his life is different, and Davey's life is different, and the franchise is different. So, pretty monumental day for that team.
Hey, as a reporter, sorry, EB. So, as a reporter, what's a standard Sunday night like yours after you know, a Nats game that ends at 4-ish. And then when something comes out like that, I mean, it just becomes an all-nighter.
Yeah, so, you know, you put down the fish tacos that you were making for dinner and wash your hands and head to the laptop. And, you know, I was texting and talking with some execs, you know, from across the game after filing a column about, you know, kind of assessing the job and what kind of person would be good, who's out there that would be good, and what has to be done to turn around, not just, you know, yeah, they got swept by the Red Sox and they had an 11-game losing streak, but kind of the underlying problems that have gotten them to this position, which I know we've talked about, it had a lot to do with drafting and developing, which they really haven't done for the better part of a decade. So really, really important decision going forward. Obviously, I really think that the general manager or the president of baseball operations that they put in place should be able to hire his manager. And it really will be kind of revealing how the Lerners handle the GM search. They have had a slew of execs from different areas in their business leave for other jobs over the past couple of years. And in almost every case, they've just bumped up whoever was behind them and not, you know, gone out and tried to figure out who the best and the brightest out there are. I don't think they can do that in baseball ops. And that's not to say Mike DiBartolo isn't deserving of a shot. He's a really thoughtful executive and has been there a long time and knows the good and the bad that's under the hood there. But he has to be put up against a list of qualified candidates who are allowed to come in and make their own presentations. And really, they should be seeking opinions from all across the sport because this is a major, major hire, and they haven't done that for whatever it is, 17 years since they put Rizzo in charge.
Barry, I remember when we had you on a few weeks ago and we talked about the Nats a little bit and Rizzo, and I think you referred to Mike as like he's kind of like the furniture over there, right? He's been around for so long. And you alluded in his column, this column that you wrote last night, that you kind of got the sense when you met with him in spring training that maybe people were a little too comfortable. You know, didn't feel that comfortable writing about it, but that was the sense you had. I know we had Chelsea on earlier, and she talked about this, the lack of urgency she felt maybe that was there when you compare a team like the Tigers. Talk about that kind of instinct that you had in spring training, why you didn't write it, why you thought that, and just how we got to this point.
So, yeah, and I, you know, in some ways I feel bad not writing that at the time because it sounds like kind of retrofitting the situation. But, you know, as a columnist now with the team where it is and its development, like, I'm not going down to spring training twice for like 10 days at a time. I went down there once. I was there for, I think, 6 days of reporting. And I just, even though I sensed that, I felt like, man, like, there's everybody. And I don't even just mean Rizzo and Davey in terms of feeling comfortable. I thought the players took that cue. And, like, you're C.J. Abrams and you're coming off getting banished at the end of last year. Like, you're James Wood and you're about to be a star. But no one... It didn't feel like a competition, and I meant that kind of throughout the up and down the organization. But again, I held back because, you know what, I'm not going to get that sense over 6 days. I left and they were just starting to play games. Like, I could have been wrong. But in retrospect, I do feel like I was right. And that's some of a reflection on Rizzo and Davey, but I also think it's more a reflection on ownership because, you know, they've had this kind of half in, half out thing for a while. And even though Mark Lerner sat down with me at spring training and said, you know, we feel like we're going to run this for the foreseeable future, it didn't feel, and it doesn't feel until last night, aggressive. Like, how can we make this better? What are we doing that's good? What are we doing that needs improvement? What people do we have in place and positions that we don't have in place should we thinking about, should we be thinking about? So it just was like, it felt like kind of a malaise, and this move is a chance to change that and not just shuffle the deck, but really dive in and think about what have we not committed to that would help that kind of undercut Rizzo and his operation, because he'd tell you that he didn't have all the stuff, not just major league payroll, but, you know, bodies and technology and that kind of thing. That's what they have to kind of explore now, a full scale look at what they do well and what they don't do well, and who would help them and what would help them improve in all areas.
Barry, do you get a sense that the learners understand where they stand with the fan base right now? They're not Dan Snyder, because Dan had so many awful things associated with him, but they're the next closest thing right now. They're kind of like enemy number one. Like, people might say, okay, yeah, I could get Rizzo. I mean, you know, haven't won in years, and Davey and whatever, and okay, I can understand it. But man, most of the fan venom is pointed towards the learners, and it has been for several years now.
And I think it should be. And that's, you know, I think a lot of that is easy for fans to do in terms of major league payroll. Like, that's what you look at. They haven't, you know, since the World Series in 2020, they tried to run it back and they spent, and you know, it didn't work in the pandemic, shortened season. But since then, they haven't done that. They haven't been able to do multiple year deals. And Rizzo would tell you that that hamstrings a rebuild, because when they did it the first time, you know, you had young controllable players in place in Ryan Zimmerman and Ian Desmond and Jordan Zimmerman in the core that came up and became the centerpieces in a winning team. But you not only surrounded them with Jason Worth, who would be there for 7 years, and it was invested in the product, not only that season, but in the seasons going forward, but in smaller deals for Adam LaRoche and people like that made it so the clubhouse was all in. And that has, in this rebuild, that's the major difference. Do they have high-end talent in James Wood and C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and maybe Dylan Cruz? Yeah, they do, but they don't have veterans in there who can say, hey, guys, this is how you're a big leaguer. This is how we develop into a winning team. I'm going to be here not just past this trade deadline, but for years and years to come. And not doing that is on the learners. And I think pulling the plug on Rizzo and Davey was, I think it was the right time. But if they think that's going to take the heat off them, I think it turns the heat up on them more, because now they've got to make a decision about who's going to do this. And they've got to show that they're committed both in major league payroll and in building up the front office staff appropriately.
Talking to Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post, we talked to your colleague Chelsea James earlier in the show, and I was trying to get at this, and maybe you have a little more insight. You know, when we talk about the learners being the owners, what does it look like? How are they involved in, like, the day-to-day operations, if they are? Who's at the office? Is it just Mark Lerner? How does this all go down?
So it's a really interesting question, JP, and I think it's important that you kind of you get under the hood here and see how different they are from most major league organizations. So Mark Lerner is the point person for ownership. He's the person who's technically in charge, but they do almost everything by consensus with the two Ted Lerner sons-in-laws, Ed Cohen and Bob Tannenbaum, as well as Mark's sisters, Deborah Cohen and Marla Tannenbaum. Like, that's how they, it's one of the reasons it's been difficult to make decisions since Ted's death in February 2023, is because there's no North Star anymore. Like, they took his word and his guidance, and that was the most important thing. And he almost created consensus by default, because he was such a powerful figure that they almost all revered. And so the other aspect is they had Stan Kasten as a team president when they took the ownership group, when they took over ownership in 2006. And since Kasten left in, I think it was 2011, he's been with the Dodgers since then, They have not had a forward-facing kind of point person to oversee all of baseball operations and the business side of things. And so that's another way that they're half in. There's a COO of Lerner Sports. His name is Alan Gottlieb. He's never forward facing. He's not somebody you go to say, how is this decision made? What are you going to do next? And he has a pretty significant role with Lerner Enterprises, which means he's not at the ballpark all the time. He's not 100% leading the Nationals. And if you're a department head at the Nationals, you kind of don't know, you know, when are you going to have Allen's attention? Does he have authority to approve stuff? It's a lot easier for him to say no than yes. So it's just, it's not a normal operation, and that's their prerogative. If they think they have a better way to do it, that's fine. I do think it's yielded the results that have led them to fire their field manager and their general manager, because there's it just feels like they're half in a lot of ways.
Right. So that leads into my next question. Is it your opinion, Barry, that whoever takes over as GM, whether it's DeBartolo or someone else outside, that they will be dealing with the same restrictions that Mike has been dealing with since the COVID year?
Well, and that's the question, Eric. I mean, I'm sorry.
Chase. That was me,
yeah,
Jason.
Sorry.
Sorry. It's okay.
It's a big...
You had a long night.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a big question for anybody that comes in for an interview. Like, I think these conversations, if you're a potential candidate, have to be hard questions both ways, because, you know, at some level, if the learners are going to use this opportunity to up their commitment into building a proper front office and a proper baseball operations department, well, that's too bad for Mike Rizzo, who didn't have that since the COVID years, for sure. I mean, he should have been afforded that opportunity with those resources. That being said, if you're coming in for an interview, and this includes if you're Mike DeBartolo, you have to ask them, what is your commitment to building this up to what it needs to be? Here's what I need in terms of data analysis, in terms of positions that are, you know, responsible for really nitty gritty stuff. And we're talking about like guys right out of college who would make $60,000-$70,000 a year, but are responsible for analyzing defensive catching across the major leagues. Like, there are other organizations that do exactly that. There are other organizations that at the major league level say, you are not taking a proper lead off of first base. You were at 11 feet. We need you at 13 feet. If you're going first to third, here's the angle that you need to go in at second. Like, those things aren't happening. And that kind of nitty gritty stuff takes people and process and resources. So if you're a candidate for this job, I don't think you want to take the job if you know you're going to be hamstrung before you get into the seat. Like, you want to know you're going to be properly funded and have a chance to compete with the best in this sport.
Well, we had Rizzo on last week, and your colleague wrote about this in the Washington Post. They're one of a few teams in Major League Baseball that doesn't have that trajectory technology. Yeah.
I mean, we asked him about that too.
Yeah, correct. And yeah. And Mike, you know, what Mike did for so many years in having to answer questions for ownership, like, he protected them because he did a really good job of managing up. I once had another GM say, who has the hardest job in baseball in managing up? I would go with, this GM was saying, I would go with Brian Cashman dealing with the Steinbrenners, and then I would go with Mike Rizzo dealing with the Lerners. Like, that's the kind of dysfunction that people across the game thought this was. So to bring it back to your point, JP, the about the technology, like, on the Junkies on Wednesday morning, Mike Rizzo is not going to throw the Lerners under the bus and say
he never did.
Yeah, they don't fund that kind of thing. It's $500,000 that would be really, really helpful. He's going to say, we have technology. It's not for everybody, but for some people it can really help. Like, it's a tough, there's a reason that when Spencer Nussbaum, one of our beat writers, did that story, that Rizzo didn't comment, because the comments are not going to reflect well on what ownership is allowing him to explore. Now, I'm not saying that Mike Rizzo was like, you know, we need that technology. I'm not sure he was, but it's true that they don't spend like other people spend on things that are helping other franchises excel, and that just puts you behind. This franchise is behind in a lot of ways. Some of that has to do with Mike Rizzo and his baseball operations department's drafting and developing, but not all of it does. The bigger arrow points to ownership here.
So how attractive is the position if they're going to be dealing with that same nonsense that Mike dealt with?
Well, unless ownership is able to sit down and say, hey, we know we haven't done our jobs very well since the pandemic, and because we're committed to keeping this team, we know it takes a different commitment from us, not just in Major League payroll, but in all the elements that we've talked about up to this point. And you know, if they're not saying that to incoming candidates, and mm-hmm. those candidates are being told, you know, we're not going to increase spending in personnel and technology and all the stuff you need to compete, then it's not a very attractive job. But in talking to and texting with some other execs who might be interested last night, in the right circumstances with the right level of commitment, like, it's an extremely attractive job. Like, you could, this market has shown it can compete when it's funded properly. They've won not just the World Series in 2019, but from 2012 to 19, only the Dodgers won more regular season games than this place. So, you know, it really depends. The attractiveness of the job really depends on how the learners can articulate and commit to what they're going to do differently than they have been over the last several years.
Hey, Mike, in 20 seconds or less, like, do we have any indication that there was an ultimatum given to Mike where they were like, we need you to let go of Davey, and he just refused to do it?
No, I don't have that at all. And I really think, Eric, that if you pull the string and say, hey, we're going to fire Davey, like, the arrow goes pretty quickly to Mike. But like, why? Well, the on-field performance stinks, but so does the drafting and developing. So I think they were a package deal.
That is going to do it here for this Monday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, very easy to do so. It is at @NELL_BTP. Big thank you to Law Murray. Big thank you to Chris Russell. Big thank you to Bennett behind the glass taking your calls. The Infinity Sports Network comes your way next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.